Hey, this is Elizabeth.
This is Keisha.
Hi, this is Leslie Sullivan, and welcome to the Mustard Seed Podcast.
Welcome back to the table. We are so glad that you're here. So today you have Keisha and I, and we're going to kind of go a little off topic more than we normally do, or I guess off topic is probably not the best word. It's still on topic.
We're going to do a topic.
We're going to do a topic that's not a book of the Bible or a woman of the Bible, though. So it's a little different than what we normally do. Mm-hmm. We're going to kind of do a view, like just an overview of apologetics, just kind of talking about what it is. And, you know, we're going to kind of explain why we think it's important, because it's something mm-hmm. that Keisha and I are both pretty passionate about, and something that we wanted to at least sit here and do. And so we're going to do this overview, and then, you know, later on we'll start kind of diving into the different parts
yeah.
of apologetics. So that way, because if we did it all at once, we'd be here for a month.
Yeah, probably. Because I had just downloaded a audiobook about apologetics, and it's like 17 hours long.
Yes. Yeah. Yep. What one did you download?
Like the apologetic handbook or something like that.
Oh.
Which is not the most entertaining when you're driving 45 minutes to a patient's house on some windy roads and halfway asleep anyway.
It's not a book to keep you awake.
It is not.
All right. Check.
But do I didn't. I didn't drive into the river, so that was good.
There's that. There is that. I have the Defending Your Faith by R.C. Sproul.
I really like him.
I really do, too. I wasn't sure how I would like the audio, because at first I was a little upset, because I'm a stickler for having the audio follow the book.
Yeah.
I like to be able to go back and say, oh, I like what he said, and highlight it.
Yeah.
The audio is him teaching it. Like, he's in a classroom setting. You can hear him writing on the chalkboard.
Oh, wow.
You know, and you hear people rustling, or like their papers are rustling. So, you know, this is like, again, it sounds like pre-computers to me.
Yeah.
But it's him. So it's interesting still, because he is actually interesting to listen to.
Yeah.
But
I listened to some of like, some stuff they put on YouTube of him, because he's passed away.
Yeah.
So, but.
But even C.S. Lewis, his Mere Christianity, that is a lot more entertaining than I thought it would be, because I have that on audio too. I have not finished either of them. I have them both.
I definitely haven't finished the apologetic handbook.
I bet not. It's going to be a daylight on your way home drive or something. Yeah. It can't be.
But, yeah, I have Mere Christianity, but I have not read it.
I had started to try to read it, and then I was like, you know what? I go on my walks. I want to have something to listen to, and sometimes whatever I'm listening to the library or is done, and I don't have anything else, or I know that I want to listen to that, or, you know, start having a little bit more focus time on God. So I downloaded that one just to kind of keep going, because he's an apologist too. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. it's good to have those resources. And I was really impressed at how it didn't feel like he'd written it as long ago as he actually wrote
really?
It. Yeah.
I had to try it. I tried to listen to the Screwtape on audio, but it was like someone speaking with a British accent. I was just lost.
See, those ones are my favorite. That's why I love like reading all the historical novels and stuff.
Uh-huh.
And I love it when it's based in like Scotland or Ireland or England, because I'm like, yes, that means I get a good accent, and it's going to be a great, I'll be like in the British countryside. Because that's where our last book of the, our book club book at the library was based in England. And it was a detective in the Scotland Yard. And so it's great. I've listened to that one, and then now I'm on the one that followed it, because it's a series. And they didn't start at the number one, which actually I was like, come on, don't do this to me, because then you're trying to figure out who everybody is. But at least it's kind of a standalone. Like, I think I would have known all the characters.
Yeah.
When this book came in, but it wasn't, it didn't matter. They didn't, you didn't need any kind of background. But I did, I do enjoy reading them when they're from over there.
But see, I don't take things in very well. So like, if it was on TV and I could do like
subtitles,
I would be perfect. But
there are, I do find that there are sometimes it takes me in it depending on how authentic the narrator is.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I'm like, I'm sorry, what did they say? Like, I might have to slow the speed down so that way they're, you know, it's a little bit, my head is able to compute.
Yeah.
So I usually listen.
That's a good idea.
Yeah. I don't listen to it at a normal speed. I usually am a little higher
because
I talk really fast anyway. So, but I've noticed with some of the books, I have to, like, if they're a good thick accent, I'm backing it down just to kind of let them go so I can actually fully comprehend exactly all the words that they're saying.
Yeah.
So, you know, with apologetics, in a nutshell, it's pretty much based on 1 Peter 3:15-17. Which says, but in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for hope that for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander.
And that's where the word apologia comes from,
mm-hmm.
is right there. And it's Greek?
Yes.
And it means a speech to defend.
Yep.
But I did not know that. I thought, apologetics has only been on my radar for probably the last 4 or 5 years,
mm-hmm.
probably. Because when I decided to homeschool, I started looking into different curriculum, and there's a curriculum called Apologia. It's a science curriculum.
Hmm.
And I was like, why are you apologizing for your faith? I was like, I'm not into that.
What kind of curriculum is this?
But I was wrong. It's not what it means at all.
The subject of apologetics is basically to help Christians who may be struggling with doubt about their Christianity and to encourage non-Christians to be able to trust in who Christ is. And then for me, even I fall in the middle of that. Like, I'm not struggling in my faith. I know who he is. I know he did who he said he is. But we all have the moments where you're like, am I doing the right thing? Is this really real? You know, and you always have to remind yourself, if it's not, what am I losing?
Yeah.
Nothing. You're not losing anything. You know, but this has helped solidify your faith. It's mm-hmm. not even, it's something that you're seeing so much fact that it's hard to think this isn't what it actually is.
I remember when I was a junior or senior in college, and I worked at a Girl Scout camp, and there was a girl there that I worked with who was an atheist, and we had kind of gotten a conversation, and she was saying something, and I was like, well, listen, I don't even want to talk about it because I don't want to get mad, you know,
mm-hmm.
and she was like, oh, well, see,
right,
kind of deal, and that's always running in my head that I wasn't prepared to defend my faith. And what if, you know, what if I was able to change the way she thought, you know,
mm-hmm.
or at least give her something to think about. But instead, I would just cut off. I was like, nah, I don't even talk about it because I don't get mad at you, you know.
Yeah.
And I remember even right after that happened, thinking back, like, why did I do that, you know? Yeah. So, but it also, it helps. I was listening to apologetic named Frank Turk, and he was talking about someone who had told him about his daughter who was very went to a Christian school, was really involved in high school with different groups and stuff. Mm-hmm. And then she went to college. And 6 weeks later, she called her dad up and said, "You know what, Dad? I'm an atheist." And so it's also just being able to really understand and, like you said, solidify what you know, mm-hmm. what you have faith in, which I find very interesting as well, because there's some really interesting topics on apologetics.
100%. Like, I'm excited to dig into it for my own self, because it's something I think it's been on my radar just probably about as long as it's been on yours. You know, because I've heard about it, and I've heard about it, and I have countless books on it. Most of them have sat, only about 50% read, you know, like I have bookmarks in probably all of my apologetic books.
Liz, I brought my books. And as you can see, I've read a total of one. I read that one.
It's funny. I haven't finished that one. I have that one.
I'm a bear apologetics.
And they have a podcast too, just saying. Again, they don't know we exist. I'm just letting you guys know there is one.
I'll have to check that out.
You should. They're actually, it's really good.
I did like that book.
Yeah, so I have three of those four books. So for reference, and we'll put these in the notes, she has Mere Christianity by C.S. Lewis sitting here, which obviously we already talked about, so everybody knew I had that one. The Mama Bear Apologetics, and I Don't Have Enough Faith to Be an Atheist, which I bought at your recommendation and haven't opened it.
I've only gotten that far.
It's way farther than
I have. Well, that's only because
she's over half, just everybody.
Half listened to it on audiobook.
Is it good on audio? Like, is the author, at least the narrator, at least?
It's a little dry.
See, that's what I'm worried about.
It's a little dry.
Narration matters. If this can get out to anybody, narration matters.
It does. It does. And it's like, it's also according to what topic they're on.
Yeah.
For me as well, because, like, I mean, apologetics kind of goes hand in hand with philosophy, too.
Yes.
So if it's more on the philosophy, you know, because this exists, it has to have, you know, kind of
cause and effect.
Yeah.
R.C. Sproul did a really good job with that. He did, because he made it funny.
Oh, really?
He did a good job.
I'll have to check that one out then, because that gets a little to me. But when you get into the cosmos and it goes into the scientific evidence, mm-hmm. and stuff, and even when it goes into the historical evidence of, you know, the different scriptures they have and non-Christian evidence that they mm-hmm. have of, you know, people mentioned in the New Testament, yeah. Jesus even.
Yep.
So I find that interesting. So I was easier.
Yeah.
To follow. Yeah. But then at times it's more like, ready for a nap.
Yeah. She also has Talking with Your Kids About Jesus, just so I make sure I mention all four.
Which I've looked at, but I couldn't tell you a thing in here.
I've started I don't have enough faith to be an atheist. I want to, because I think that's a great title. That is a fantastic title of a book. And I know you've said good things about it, so that's mm-hmm. why I ordered it.
And that Frank Turk, you can follow him on YouTube. He mm-hmm. goes to a lot of colleges and where the, you know, people can ask him questions and he mm-hmm. answers it, and he does a good job.
That's good to know. Christian apologetics is simply presenting a reasonable defense of the Christian faith and truth to those who disagree. So again, so we're able to do what Jesus told us to do in mm-hmm. Matthew 28, you know, go and tell, like, this is make disciples of all nations. Like, you're able to do that, but then you have to also use your First Peter and do it with the gentleness and respect. Like, mm-hmm. there is a time, like I said it at our women's group, and now I'll say I should get a shirt, but there's a time to flip tables. There's yeah. absolutely a time yes. to be flipping tables, but it's not as often as tables are flipped.
Yes. And how many times in the New Testament does it tell us with gentleness and meekness mm-hmm. and with love,
humble,
yeah,
grace. Give everybody grace.
Yeah.
You know, love first.
Yes.
And don't judge, which it has been coming up a lot about the judging thing on a lot of the, like, some of the Facebook groups that I'm on, the Christian ones. And I'm like, judging isn't what you think judging is. Like, Jesus means you're not condemning them. Like, do not condemn them to hell for their actions.
Yeah.
You can, there's a difference between judgment and guiding.
Yeah.
And helping them along the way, like trying to steer their path to a better destination.
Yeah.
But you have to do it in a way that you're not just like, you're going to go to hell if you, because you're doing this.
Yeah.
Have because a nice day.
We can't judge. We,
no.
We're not righteous enough to judge. Only Jesus is.
I mean, can you imagine? I can't. I mean, I know there's days that I'm ticked off enough that I could say, I could absolutely send you to hell and not think twice. But then there's days that I'm like, I know. I also know later on that would kill me, you know, to know what you are condemning somebody to.
Yes.
You know, that's the one thing, you know, in the book, The Shack, like he taught, like he, they, he brings him up. He's like, could you send one of your kids to hell? And I'm like, you know, and he's like, could you, you could, you have to choose.
Yeah.
Like this is their sins. You have to choose who's going, like if they're going to hell or not, you know? Yeah. And I think that's really hard. Oh, I don't want that position.
No,
I don't. I don't want that on my shoulders.
And you know, it's talking about like flipping tables and stuff too. Jesus was able to do that. He was righteous, you know?
100%.
We just fall so short. But, and you know, it's like you said, guide. We can guide people. We can say, well, that doesn't follow what the Bible says.
Mm-hmm.
But we definitely can't judge. I mean, for sure.
And I think that's where a lot of Christians get hung up, is that word. It's that word judgment.
Yeah.
That word judge, because it's, I mean, it's like the Princess Bride. That word doesn't mean what you think it means, you know, because, again, God is the ultimate judge. Mm-hmm. God is the one who's going to decide whether or not we're being in paradise or we're not.
Yeah.
And we have, you know, our job is to live a life that is glorifying to him. We're all going to fall short.
Yes.
It's just a matter of, do we know who he is?
Yes.
Like, do we understand who Jesus is? And it's just so many Christians get caught up. And I've seen, and I'm not kidding, in the last 2 weeks, I've seen so many quote unquote arguments on Facebook about, oh, Christians can judge. We're called to judge. No, we're not. We're not called to judge. And it's like, listen, you guys, no matter what, wherever you are, if you think you're called to judge, you're called to guide people, to help people, to, again, get them on the path to the correct destination.
Yeah.
You're not called to tell them that they're where they're going and that they're going there in a handbasket, right?
And even, you're going to know this, and I always struggle. I cannot remember if it's Jude or Titus, where it pretty much says, you know, you tell someone twice.
Titus.
If they're
I get made fun of a lot for this one.
I knew you'd be able to do the right one. But
it's my favorite.
I really like it because it's kind of a relief.
It
you
is.
Know, it's pretty much you tell someone something two times. If they don't listen, you don't say it again.
Yep, you're done.
You're done. And that all goes with the guiding, not judging.
Exactly. And it's, again, you know, and like we've talked about here, we've talked about it, women's group. It's, you planted the seed. Mm-hmm. You say it, that, and that's, she's, it's Titus 3:10 and 11, 3:10 and 11. Yeah, so it's, yeah, it's 3:10, because if people are causing divisions among you, give a first and second warning. After that, have nothing more to do with them. For people like that have turned away from the truth and their own sins condemn them.
Mm-hmm. So we don't have to. We don't condemn them. Their own sins condemn them.
Yep. It's just like Jesus when he told the disciples, if they don't welcome you, shake the dust off your shoes and go somewhere else.
Exactly.
You know, there's only so much that you can do for people who don't want to listen.
Yeah.
But maybe your job or your role was just to plant the seed.
Yeah.
For somebody else to water it and then somebody else to help it grow.
Yes.
You know, it's just because you don't feel like you are getting through doesn't mean you didn't do the part that you were supposed to.
Yeah. Yeah.
You just might not see it from start to finish. You're just the beginning of their redemption story.
Yeah. But apologetics, there are many, many, many different topics under apologetics, mm-hmm. but there's mostly, pretty much four types of methods with apologetics. And I think they kind of argue between themselves, mm-hmm. but there's the classical method, which is uses philosophy.
It's a okay. So my definition doesn't even have to use that word.
Okay,
which starts by examining the evidence for the existence of God and connecting that to Jesus. See, I don't have to use words I can't pronounce.
I like it. I guess that was not coming out.
It's okay, because I couldn't say it after you said it. I'm like, I know it. I'm looking at the word, but I can't say it now.
I completely messed you up. But, yeah, so reason can be used to support faith.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's evidential mm-hmm. method, which uses evidence from history, science, and other fields to support the truth. Mm-hmm. of Christianity. An example kind of is Jesus' fulfillment of Old Testament.
Mm-hmm.
And then presuppositional, mm-hmm. which is a state with belief of Christianity is true and then argues from there.
Mm-hmm.
And then fideism.
I don't have the fourth on my list. So. This is all you. I only found the three, so I'm actually, like, I'm learning right now.
Fideism, which is emphasizes faith over reason. Argue faith is a gift from God. I think they kind of combined the presuppositional and the fideism.
Possibly. I think that sounds, because the presuppositional approach, the definition that I found was, which reverses the classical and evidential and argues that God's existence and the Bible's truthfulness must be presupposed before we can use our reasoning ability to consider these types of questions. Which, just so we're all on the same page, I had to look up what presuppose actually meant because I didn't know. Just it happens when I read books when I have to learn things instead of just reading books for funsies. But it means of an action, process, or argument require as a precondition or a possibility or coherence. Webster Dictionary.
Still in use. <Yeah. laughs> I have an example of that is argue the existence of object morality mm-hmm. and the human conscience can only be explained by the existence of God.
I like that one. I wish I had seen that one. I went down a few different rabbit holes, you know, on your Google searching, right? Like,
yes,
okay, what are we looking at? Like going to reputable sources, I'll be honest.
Yeah.
You know, I went to the gotquestions.org because that is one that has never really ever steered me wrong in regards to finding some of the hard questions out. But this one, some of the apologetic stuff I found was convincingproof.org. because it kind of did an intro to apologetics.
Mm-hmm.
Some of it I didn't really care for, but it doesn't matter if I care for it or not. There was some factual stuff in there.
Yeah. There's a lot of websites
mm-hmm.
that are geared toward apologetics.
And there's a lot of different podcasts that are mm-hmm. literally have that in their name. Like that is what they do.
Yeah.
I know we've mentioned some of the actually like the known Christian apologists such as C.S. Lewis, Frank Turk, R.C. Sproul. But there's also, in some of these names I don't know, some of them just are like, I kind of know who you are, but I don't really quite know why.
Mm-hmm.
But you have Lee Strobel, which I know that one because that's the Case for Christ.
Yeah, he had and I've got that book too somewhere.
I tried reading that in high school. And I remember it was just going so far over my head.
Yeah.
That I couldn't, and I haven't picked it up since. I think because I still have that, it's intimidating. I can literally still picture myself sitting in my high school because I was a senior. And I had gym just because I had to refill a requirement. I just had to have one credit.
Yeah.
And I'd already taken gym and I was in this. And the coach that taught gym was known to be nice to seniors because he knew we were just literally in there to graduate.
Yeah.
So I just sat in the hallway the entire time in red, which is perfect class for me. But I can see myself still sitting right outside the gym in that hallway, trying desperately to read this book.
I was older when I tried to read it. I want to say it was probably after my senior year of college, it was either the senior year between undergrad and grad school, or between my senior year of high school and going to college. I can't remember, but I know I was at my dad's house for the summer, and I was just reading.
Yeah.
And I tried to read it, and it was over my head.
Yeah, I just couldn't. And I think I still just have a little PTSD from that. Yeah. I haven't picked it up since. I'm trying to read other ones and wait for that one.
Yeah. Same. But then I'm thinking I should go back to it.
I know.
Because then they made the movie.
Like, they did. Yes. And I haven't even watched that.
Oh, it's good.
Is it?
Yeah. It doesn't really go into like depth. It's more about the feeling of it all. You know what I mean?
Yeah. He has a great story though.
His testimony kind of.
It's amazing. Mm-hmm. I also want to see the C.S. Lewis movie too. Didn't you say you watched that one?
I forgot what it's called though.
I can't remember what it's called either, but I think didn't you tell me it was really good too?
Yes. But it's one that I would have to rewatch with subtitles.
Fair enough.
For me, it's hard to take in.
Yeah.
If I can't see it.
No, I understand.
And I watched it with some other people, so I didn't feel like, can we put subtitles on? So I want to rewatch that one for sure.
Yeah.
But it was good.
So there's also Norman Geisler. Mm-hmm. Gessler. I apologize if I killed your name, sir. Josh McDowell, William Lane Craig, and Daniel B. Wallace. Like the last two, I'm like, I know these. Even Josh, I'm like, I know these names, but they're not ones that I can't.
Yeah,
they're not. Like I know them enough to know to recognize their name.
But yeah,
not enough to know like their theology and this what they've written and what they've said.
Same. I would add one more, Vadi Bachman. Bachman.
Hmm.
I'm probably butchering his last name.
See, we apologize. We just have a disclaimer that.
Yeah. But he's got stuff on YouTube. Mm-hmm. And I really like him.
Okay. Again, we'll put all these in the notes so that way everybody can kind of look back. Because that's the thing too with apologetics. It's something that no matter how in depth we end up going into all of these different little subjects, there's still going to be room to explore,
yes,
to expand,
because it's huge.
It's massive. It's a massive space. Uh-huh. But again, we caution you: know your source.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you're going to listen to a podcast, if you're going to read a book, if you're going to read somebody's paper, look it up online. Know where that information is coming from.
Yes.
Usually with the tag, you know, apologetics, it is on average, there's not much. I don't feel like it could totally steer you wrong, but just always use your discernment. Always make sure that you're fact checking what they're saying. If they're referencing things in the Bible, make sure they're not using it completely out of context.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and do that with us. Make sure we're not losing things out of context. And if we are, please let us know.
Yeah.
Your thoughts and everything, because we want to know. We don't want to be the reason people stumble. We want to be the reason people are risen up.
Yes. Yes.
So, you know, some of the other, like the topics that kind of go through the four, you know, that Keisha mentioned are going to be, you're going to have the historical apologetics, the mm-hmm. evidential apologetics, like the presuppositional, the philosophical apologetics.
Yay.
I did it. Prophetic apologetics, doctrinal, biblical, moral, and scientific. Mm-hmm. So all of that goes in those four main ones. So it's like title and subtitles and bullet points all underneath, you know. And it's obviously, I love the historical and the evidential. You know, I love that because it's tangible.
Yeah.
You can point to it. You can point to seeing where you can still see where Jericho was burned.
Yeah.
You know, whereas there's pots that, you know, and that are there. You can tell that the walls fell down. You know, you can see all of these, that kind of evidence when they found, you know, in Turkey, the Ark, right? And, you know, you have these things, or if you go back through, you know, and you're looking at, in layman's terms for my brain cells, it's like you look at what NASA says about how, you know, when the, even like the Star of David, that how what star was actually, or planet was there, or what, when God stopped the, like, kept the sun out for longer and kept the night, like, there, that's documented.
Yeah, they can see it.
Like, that stuff that's there.
And that the universe is expanding.
Yeah.
And that it had to have a start.
Mm-hmm.
It just, and the evidence of it, it's just, to me, it's like, how can you not believe?
Yeah.
And
I think that's
fascinating.
It is extremely fascinating because it really, it is. It's just, it's gratifying to see that you're not believing nonsense and stuff, that this happened. This is historical fact.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, you know, by the, every time we go into a book of the Bible or a woman of the Bible, it's like, here, this is what was going on during this time. Mm-hmm. This is why this is important.
Yeah.
This is what she would have had to deal with, or this is what they were all going through during here. Like, this is, context is always important. Yeah. And so the historical side, the evidence that shows that what we're reading in the Old and New Testament actually happened.
Exactly. And even looking at the actual scriptures, you know, compared to other ancient texts out there, like Homer, are about to say the Odyssey, it's the same thing. But like, seeing, you know, how close they've found scripture to the source. Like, I mean, they found 20, 30 years out, and how far out all these other ancient texts that they found, like, and how much more scripture they found than they have found of other copies of these other ancient texts. It's just, it's fascinating.
Well, you have the Dead Sea Scrolls that have come up, and, you know, they've toured, and you're able to kind of, I saw them when they came into Detroit. When I was in college.
I bet that was neat.
Yeah, but, you know, I wish, again, it's one of those things. Like, I was young. I was in college, but, you know, I was 19.
Yeah.
You know, and so it's like,
so to actually take it
was cool. But, you know, it's like, I would go now and I would spend the entire day reading about all of it. What does this actually say? Where do they find this?
Like,
that's, it's hard to, you know, it's something you try to instill in your children.
Yeah.
You know. And I think that's why both of us think that apologetics is important, because we want to make sure that in this day and age, and I mean, and everybody's going to say that, I always feel like I'm getting so old where I'm like, in this day and age, these kids, but realistically, we want to equip our kids with the ability to be able to defend their faith and have that strong knowledge of understanding that this is a fact. This is real.
Yeah.
But to also, again, to be able to do it so they're not, you know, they're not out there and saying, this is how it is. Take it or leave it. I don't care. Yeah. You know, and
there this is how it is because my mommy said so.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, and there is something about the faith like a child, but there also comes a point where your child, like mine, who's now going to be 15, needs to have to be able to have that faith to stand on his own.
Yeah.
And I know he's getting there, and we have great youth leaders that are absolutely getting him there, and I love hearing him say, well this is what Landon says, and this is what Landon thinks, and I'm like, yes,
Yeah.
Like, that's great. I love it because I know Landon's faith and I know that him and Grace are amazing in
there. I know it has to be a relief.
Exactly.
It's a relief for me. My kids aren't even that age yet.
I love it. I love it because.
But now we have a strong kids. We have a strong youth now.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, Doug's awesome. So.
Yep. And well, and they have, you know, to come out of even our children's with Becky and Anthony, mm-hmm. to come out of that to a strong youth, it's huge because you don't want to lose them in that in between.
Uh-huh.
And it's hard enough to try to make sure you're keeping kids in between high school and college.
Yes. And but, I know I've seen a fallout before.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just heart-wrenching.
It is. And that's why I think this is so important.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
It's so important to be able to stand firm and know why you're stand firm. So if you are questioned or when you're questioned on your faith, you're able to say, okay, I respect your opinion.
Yes.
You know, but here's why I believe what I believe. And let me just lay it out. Like, let's look at this evidence.
Yes.
Okay. Let's look at these historical documents mm-hmm. that are going to show you that these things actually happened. These people actually existed.
Yeah.
Right. Let's look at the, you know, let's look at the Bible. Let's see what they say. Let's look at this mm-hmm. and let's look at this doctrine. Let's look at how the Old Testament prophecies were fulfilled by Jesus in the New Testament.
Yeah.
Like, I want them to have that knowledge that I still don't have fully. Mm-hmm. And maybe I never will have it fully. But even I want to be able to not be scared that somebody's going to ask me about my mm-hmm. faith if I wear a Christian shirt, or ask me about my tattoo, like, oh, what does that mean? And I can tell them, you know, it's Exodus 14:14, you know, the Lord will fight for you and be still. But, you know, I'm always scared to evangelize, to share it, because I don't want to sound like a moron when I'm trying to explain my faith. Like, there's a time for you to have your childlike faith. And there's also a time for you to step up and put on your big girl panties and explain that this is how this works.
And this is why. Yeah. And you don't want to be like pushing people away because they're like, man, she don't know what she's talking about.
She doesn't have a clue what she's talking about.
But
sometimes I don't. More often than not.
Give me a day.
Let me do some research. I will be back. We can reconvene. I will take that. Let me write these down. What are your questions?
But yeah, exactly what you're talking about. And you don't want to be like me, thinking back to, you know, 20-year-old me who just completely shut down someone because I didn't want to talk about it.
It's also the, you know, and I've talked, I just don't. How many opportunities did I miss mm-hmm. because I wasn't comfortable with sharing? Like, there's times I've been in situations where I wasn't the light I was supposed to be. Mm-hmm. I maybe conformed a little bit that more than I should have. And I remember when we were talking about Ephesians a few months ago, I remember thinking I had an exact example. I was like, I was just somewhere where I was probably the only Christian in the room. And I don't think my light was very bright, you know, and it was that part because it was that part in Ephesians where Paul calls Peter out. Mm-hmm. He's like, you know, you are conforming back to what these Jews are telling you should be doing
mm-hmm.
And going by the Jewish law, even though you and I both know. That's
2 minutes late before you were sitting eating with the Gentiles.
Yeah, like literally you had said, this is what we need to do is we need to, you know, God told you to eat with these Gentiles and to do all of these things. And I just remember thinking, my light wasn't bright. Paul would have had a massive conversation with me. Like, you were the only light of Jesus in that room and you failed. I failed.
Yeah.
And so now every time I'm in a situation like that, I make sure I shine brighter. I might not be the brightest still because it's hard. It's hard when you are the only one in the room.
And that's the thing about, you know, you're this day and time you mentioned earlier, but this culture, it is. And there's so much knowledge out there now. I mean, you know, we're living in a time where, let me Google it.
Yeah.
You know, I can Google that real quick. So there's so much that people know that if you're not careful, you can even be persuaded otherwise, yeah. you know? And, like, going back to talking about the kids, you know, how easy it is for them to be persuaded,
mm-hmm.
you know? So having that firm foundation, knowing what they believe, why they believe it.
Mm-hmm. I think first and foremost, when it comes to apologetics, as much fun as the history and the evidence and all of that part is and how important it is, I think the first thing that you need to make sure, I think in Christianity as a whole, is that you're rooted in the gospels,
mm-hmm.
right? You understand who Jesus is, why he came, how he was, you know, prophesied about, like how he fulfilled mm-hmm. these prophecies. But reading through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, like, let's fully grasp who Jesus was, what he did for us, how he told us to act,
mm-hmm.
you know, go through there. And I know, you know, I think there's so much in the Bible itself.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot that, you know, that it takes a lot of faith and a lot of imagination to believe actually happened. You know, you look at Daniel in the lion's den. Okay. Mm-hmm. That takes a little bit of faith to think yeah. that man was in with all these lions and came out unscathed. Right.
Yeah.
That Balaam, talking donkey,
yeah.
Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Jonah,
yeah.
you know, Noah's Ark. You have a lot of things that are sometimes easier for those of us that read books, you know, for fun, uh-huh. you know, and we enjoy reading non-fictional books, like stuff like that. It's easy for my head to say, oh yeah, sure, that totally happens.
Yeah,
you know. And it's fun to kind of go down those rabbit holes of looking into the historical facts and stuff around those,
mm-hmm.
but again, you can get lost on those rabbit holes if you yeah. don't have your firm foundation in the gospel.
Exactly.
And I think that's something I don't think we can stress that enough.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not just stressing this to y'all, I'm stressing this to me.
Yes. Yeah. It's definitely, we have to know what our worldview is,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that is through the eyes of Christianity.
Yep.
And, that's, you know, it's kind of like going back and looking at the different methods and stuff. I can kind of understand a little bit of all of it,
mm-hmm.
but that presuppositional, you know, knowing what you believe and then going from there.
Mm-hmm. 100%. You know, I think it's just a matter of, you can't lose focus on the salvation mm-hmm. part of Christianity.
Yeah.
You can get caught up in all of the non-salvation issues of, well, you don't believe that, then you're wrong mm-hmm. and you're not really a Christian, or you should believe it like this, or you shouldn't do this and you should do that.
Yeah.
You should wear this and not wear that, you know, and we get caught up in those rabbit holes mm-hmm. that we lose track of the gospels.
Exactly. And you're completely losing that where it causes to be loving and gentle.
Yeah. You know, so I firmly believe, and I think it's something that, and I think something I'd like to start doing too, is every year reading back through all of them, Matthew, Mark, Luke, mm-hmm. John, just starting reading it all through, even if it's, and probably not in succession, because I won't lie, it's hard to read them back to back like that, because then you're seeing the differences, and then it makes you question a lot more sometimes.
Yeah.
Because it's like, wait a minute, he said it happened like this, and he said it happened like that.
Uh-huh.
And then which is fine, because you're going to have more questions that you can hopefully take to your pastor.
Yeah.
Or somebody that you know.
Yeah.
And you trust, or a resource that you have that you know and trust, and you mm-hmm. can ask these questions. But
yeah. But, you know, going back to apologetics and the different arguments and stuff, you know, that's a big thing that people bring up, is mm-hmm. because the gospels are different. Like, they have, some of them have different details and the others don't have, or they say, you know, it was on the left and then it says it's on the right, you know, yeah. but they say that just goes to prove that it's true, because when you're witnessing something,
that's a good point,
everyone has a different perspective of what happened. Mm-hmm. You might have saw the same wreck, but you know, I saw that it was a girl driving and you saw that they were on their phone.
Yeah.
You know, it's just a different perspective. It would be less believable if it was exactly the same.
No, you're right. That's actually, I like that, because I didn't think about it like that.
Mm-hmm.
But you're absolutely correct.
So, but, you know, but that's a, you know, a good example of knowing what you believe, because, you know, that's definitely a strong argument that atheists bring up, mm-hmm. but they're not the same, you know, but they shouldn't be.
No, but the message is still the same. Mm-hmm. And
message is exactly the same.
What he did is still the same. It's just a matter of some of the events surrounding what he did.
Yeah.
I know, but that's a really good, I never thought about it like that. I like that.
That didn't come from me. I read that maybe in this one.
That's okay. You know, I mean, so as we go through these, and again, it's not going to be, we'll get into these a little bit deeper each section, you know, we'll break them down a little bit to where, and there's, again, there's still going to be on more of a, you know, bird's eye view. Like this isn't,
oh, yeah.
We're not going to be able to.
We're not rock scientists. So we can't go into huge detail about the cosmology argument.
Yes, we are not philosophy majors. We are not, you know, we are not biblically trained. We're just God trained. You know,
we're not archaeologists, although that's what I really wanted to be.
I really wish I had could go back. I wish I could go back to college and be like, you know, they ask you, and I just feel like I didn't know. Mm-hmm. I just knew that now all of a sudden I had to go through 4 more years of school, which ended up being about 6 just because of transferring and taking some time off to do cosmetology. But I just wish I had thought a little bit more, or looked and explored a little bit more about all my options.
Yeah.
Like, this is what I'm going to do for the rest of my life.
I switched my freshman year, towards the second semester of freshman year, to history major because I wanted to be an archaeologist. Mm. And then I also thought, I want to actually have a job that I can get paid. So I switched again.
Well, apparently that wasn't on my radar, since me and my theater major sitting over here obviously didn't think about getting paid.
But it would be, if we had, you know, I don't know, 20 more hours in the day, I think it would be really awesome to just go sit in on some classes.
I agree.
Yeah.
I think I would have a better respect for my class time, I think, a little bit. But I just don't have the time to do any homework. I don't have the time.
No.
You can't.
I don't even have time to go sit in the class.
No, absolutely not. But we're excited.
Yeah.
We are excited to go through this stuff with you. And I hope that at least that this little overview of kind of what apologetics is can kind of get you guys geared up and excited to kind of see where we can go with this, like what we're going to do, and seeing the different aspects and getting excited about growing into your faith. Cause that's something that, you know, it's one of the things I've tried. Full transparency, my prayer life isn't the best. It's not. I struggle with actually praying. Other than, you know, I pray every morning with my kids in the car on the way to school.
Mm-hmm.
But me and even Steven and I need to sit down and actually pray together.
Yeah.
And then I need to pray on my own as well. But this is one of the things that I have. It's been on my heart. Like, God, ignite the fire in me to want to learn. Mm-hmm. I want to think about, okay, what can I read next in the Bible? Like, I want that passion again. And I believe that apologetics is one of those, it's kind of a kickstarter to that. Yeah. Because then it becomes interesting. It's like a research project.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and it's like, let's find out. Okay, what can I find out now? What can we prove out? What else can we prove is true? Let's find it.
And it, you know, I find it fascinating. I'm trying to read more of Psalms because that's one area in the Bible that I kind of always just glossed over because I'm not a wordy person.
Yeah.
But how it talks about how creation cries out to God. Mm-hmm. And then you can actually see it in science.
Yep.
In the universe. Mm-hmm. In the cosmos. I find it. It's exciting.
Yeah, it is. We are very excited. We're both sitting here smiling because we're really excited about this topic. And obviously, like I mentioned before, like we are passionate about it. And even though it's just been a short period of time, it's something that, if God's laid it on both of our hearts, we know this is something that we need to do. And you guys are our platform, and you're going to hear about it.
We might even finish a book.
Woohoo! What's that like? Okay. No, hold on. We might finish a nonfiction book.
Yes.
There you go. I finish fiction books all the time.
Same.
I am not as good at finishing nonfiction books.
Yes.
But speaking of nonfiction books, I have a quote here because she's one of my favorites. She's the reason I think I started reading fantasy books. Madeline L'Engle, who was a Christian, and she wrote The Wrinkle in Time.
I did not know she was a Christian.
She was a Christian. But her quote that I just love, that I feel like needs to be tattooed on my body, it says, "We do not draw people to Christ by loudly discrediting what they believe, by telling them how wrong they are and how right we are, but by showing them a light that is so lovely that they want it with all their hearts to know the source of it."
I like that.
Mm-hmm. And I'm like, that's it. That's exactly, that's it.
That's what we're called to.
That's what we're called to do. And that's what this is about.
Yes. And our pastor says all the time, it's how you live your life that draws people in. That's the best testimony you can have.
That's, my grandmother was the epitome of that. Uh-huh. She would make friends everywhere. And I know I've mentioned that before. You know, she would make friends in the bathroom. She would make friends on a plane. Like, we would literally pray for the people she was going to be sitting next to. Like, Lord, just give them the strength to get through, my grandmother. Because she loved everybody.
I think
she loved everybody.
That's who I want to be, Liz.
I know. I want to be my grandma. That's my goal. You know, and then, you know, even Steve's dad. Steve's dad, he lived that out. Like, he never met a stranger in his life. And if you knew him, you knew him.
Yeah.
You know, he never made you feel stupid. You know, you could ask all the questions you wanted. And he loved you. But yet, Christ shone so bright through him that people were drawn to him, you know, and that's what this is about. Hit my father-in-law's life verse was 1 Peter 3:15-17. Like,
I love that.
That's he lived that. Like, he was, that's what he did.
Yeah.
But he was also he did so much research, and he was the science teacher. So he absolutely did the whole historical and evidence and all the scientific facts that can go right back to to what the Bible says. Like, let's prove it. Yeah. Let me show you how this works.
Yeah.
And how this proves that God is real.
Yes.
You know, and that's something I think almost every science teacher should have, but I know not every science teacher does have.
I know. And to teach a theory as a theory.
Yeah.
Instead of fact.
I got lucky because my science teacher in high school was also a Christian. Uh-huh. And so literally when it came to evolution, he flat out said, "I'm teaching you guys this because I have to. This is not what I believe. And I know that's not what most of you guys believe, but this is part of the curriculum. So here we go. Like, yeah. He literally, and I'm like, thank you. He was like, it was so awesome to be able to say that. Like, he ran like the Bible study out of his class. Like his son. Really? Yeah. That's his son awesome. Was in my grade, and they ran it out of his classroom in the mornings, like once a week.
I don't know if my science teacher in high school was a Christian or not, but she was objective, you know? So she did teach. This is the Big Bang theory. This is evolution. Yes.
Theory.
And she even did that. The creation as a theory, you know?
Yeah.
But at least she went over it.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, cause that, I think that says enough, too, because I don't think a lot of
science teachers
would go over it if they didn't have to.
Yeah.
I don't know enough to know if they have to. I'd have to ask Jackson, but right now he has ag science, like agricultural science, so it's not like they're not going over that.
Yeah.
But yeah.
I now teach at the Apologia science book.
I might just come and sit in with you guys in the morning then when you guys are doing that. Start learning. Well, we definitely look forward to getting into these topics in a little bit, you know, and always going down our own little rabbit holes with you guys. But we do. We're looking forward to kind of getting through these, and I hope you guys are excited. But again, if you guys have anything you want to look into, or you find stuff while we're talking, or while you're looking into things, let us know. Let's look at these things together. Yeah. That's one of the things we do at women's ministry. That's my favorite thing when somebody comes up to me after church or after women's ministry, or even during it, and like, well, what about this? Like, what do you think about this? Mm-hmm. What about this aspect of the book of the Bible that we're going over, or the topic that we're going over? And I love that. There's nothing that's better, because I don't know everything.
Yeah.
When we do women's ministry, I learn just as much as I don't like to use the word teach, but I learn as much as I, you know, try to put out there.
Yeah.
And that's what this is. This is a, you know, a cohesive environment. Like it's a give and take.
Yep.
Because I know darn well I don't know everything. I might be a little stubborn on some things where I'm like, I might be a little more right on you that than you are. But I'm also not going to tell you that, you know. And I'm going to listen, because it is. I want it. And then if I don't really fully understand, I'm going to look it up. I'm going to start looking at it. And then I'll have something to say, you know.
Yeah.
So that's something that we encourage. And so, again, you have the Facebook, we have Instagram, you know, you can message us directly. Like the way we all post on there, you know who we are. So you can message us directly. If you don't feel comfortable posting it, you know, for all the world to see, that's fine.
Yeah.
But
what's it called? DM.
Yeah. That's called. DM us. Hashtag we're old. But we look forward to sitting around here with you guys next time. We will see you guys in 2 weeks. We want to thank you all for listening to the Mustard Seed Podcast and for joining us on this journey that God laid on our hearts. I know it's hard to feel connected when we are on this side of the microphone, so we wanted to make sure that you knew that you could connect with us on Facebook and Instagram at the Mustard Seed Podcast. Our Facebook group is a community. We share funny memes, Bible verses, and just life. You can reach out however you feel comfortable. We want to build the community that we advocate for on this podcast, the Come As You Are. Our table will never be too crowded and cannot get too big. You belong here, and we want to connect with you.